welcome again to our broadcast. We're looking at the life and the ministry of Paul the Apostle. Stay tuned for our program. Looking at the timeline of Paul the Apostle, he comes from Jerusalem, he comes to Damascus, he receives Christ as his Savior, and it says he was with the disciples there for certain days. And then we saw in a previous broadcast that he went all the way down to Arabia, where he met with the Lord on the same mountain where Moses had met with the Lord, and Paul got instructions concerning how things were to be done in the local church age, as Moses had received instructions from the Lord as to how things were to be done during the Old Testament period. Well, he comes back after meeting with the Lord, and it says, referring to this, he said in Galatians 1:18, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. That's a very interesting verse. He was there in Damascus for 3 years. Then he said, I went up to see Peter and I abode with him 15 days. Now, this word "see" is the only place it occurs here in the New Testament in the Greek, and it means to get personally acquainted with Peter. It doesn't mean that he went to go to talk to Peter to learn some stuff. Truth of the matter is, he could teach Peter a lot of stuff because he had just been with the Lord on the mountain and received the things that had been a mystery from before the foundation of the world. And at this point, Paul the Apostle was the only person who knew how the Lord wanted the local church age to operate. So he comes with Peter, and he's with him for 15 days. They become very, very good friends. Well, we read that in Acts 9 and verse 26 concerning when he was there in Jerusalem. It says he assuaged to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus and in the name of Jesus. Now, over a period of time here, we're going to find that Paul and Barnabas are going to become very, very good friends. Well, in Acts 9 and 28, it says, "And he," that is Paul, "was with them in Jerusalem there, coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Well, Paul's doing what he always does. He's speaking boldly about Jesus. Well, they went about to slay him. They're doing what they always did concerning Paul. Well, in verse 17 of Acts 22, it says, "It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Well, in Acts 9 and verse 30, we read, "And when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus." Now, he went to Caesarea. There he would have gotten a ship and gone back home to Tarsus. Now, that must have been an exciting time for him. He's certainly got no friends left back there. You figure his parents, they were Jewish and brought up under the Jewish law. They had him trained at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, here is Paul running around telling everybody that Jesus Christ is the answer, and going against everything that the Jews stood for, and going, of course, to the Gentiles. What kind of reception would he have in Tarsus? I don't think that he had too many friends there. Well, after a period of time, we read the church at Antioch was going, and they needed to get instructions as to how to set it up. The only person on the face of the planet that knew how to set it up was Paul the Apostle, for the Lord had met with him on that mountain in Arabia and given him instructions concerning the local church age, which we read in a previous broadcast, were things that were a mystery and that were a secret before the foundation of the world. So they needed to get Paul. They needed to know how to establish this church. And churches were meeting far before this, but they needed to get them organized in the way that the Lord wanted them organized. And Paul was the one who knew how to do that. And so in Acts chapter 11, verse number 25, we read, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Now, we mentioned earlier that they became very good friends. They are mentioned together 18 times in the Bible. Now, at this point, looking at the timeline of things, it's important to understand that it's at least 12 years after Pentecost when this took place. Well, in Acts 11:26, we read, "When he," that is Barnabas, "had found him," that is Paul, "he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Well, in verse 27, "In these days," it says, "came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." And so they make this trip together. Now, we've said several times in our broadcast that when we're studying the scriptures, we should study them, first of all, just for observation, interpretation, and then application. Now, we've spent much time on our previous broadcast looking, just observing what's here and interpreting, looking at the timeline and looking at the history of the whole thing. But that's a waste of time if we do not take the time to make the applications. These things are written, the Bible says, for our admonition. Now, one of the things that really strikes me about Paul the Apostle, and we can learn some lessons from him, is the story of his life, is his journey. In Acts 9 and verse 3, it says, "He journeyed." In Acts 9 and 22, he said, "I made my journey." In 1 Corinthians 16 and 6, it says that "ye may bring me on my journey." Then in Acts 26 and verse 13, talks about them that journeyed with me. In Romans 1, in verse 10, he said, making requests, "If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." He said in Romans 15 and 24, "Whensoever I take my journey," Romans 15 to 24 again, he says, "I trust to see you in my journey." And so we look at the life of Paul the Apostle, and we see that he was in a journey. He started and he finished well. He started off on that first missionary trip that he took, and he traveled many, many, many miles. That first missionary trip took 2 years and 1,235 miles, and a lot of that was on foot. In his second missionary trip, it took 3 years, and that was 2,703 miles. And once again, much of that was on foot. And when he was doing part of the trips on a ship, three times he was shipwrecked. It wasn't really a pleasant voyage like we would have today on a ship. His third trip was over 4 years, and it took him 2,515 miles, and then finally he's taken to Rome as a prisoner. That trip took 2 years, and they covered 2,130 miles. Now, when we look at Paul the Apostle and we think of his journey, he said in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He said, "I have fought a good fight." It was a fight all the way in his journey. "I have finished my course. I have finished my course." He said, "I have kept the faith." And then he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He's the pastor there, the church at Ephesus at the time. And he says to him, "Fight the good fight." He said, "My time of departure is at hand." Now, Timothy, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Thou art also called. He said, now you're the pastor of that church, and you need to do it right. And he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy to him to tell him how to do it right. Well, you say, yeah, those pastors, they're all called, right? No, it says, thou art also called. Ephesians 4 and 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation. Now, that word vocation we've mentioned before is the same Greek word as translated called at the end of the verse. Ye are called. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the call wherewith ye are called. Well, who is he talking to here? Well, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1 says that Paul was an apostle. He was talking to the saints. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints. We are all called. We are all here in this world for a ministry. We're not here by accident. God has brought us into this world for a good purpose, and we need to find that purpose. Well, in 2 Timothy, again, 6 and verse number 12, he says, fight the good fight, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Before many witnesses. What's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We also. What is he referring to? The we also. He's referring to all those people who were mentioned back in Hebrews chapter 11, and they had witnesses who were watching them, that great faith chapter. And so he says here, like them, like those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 7, we also have a great cloud of witnesses, and they're watching us. And we are the only Bible that many of our unsaved friends are going to read. The only Bible they're going to read is you. And so he says, watch now, be careful. You have a great cloud of witnesses, so run that race that is set before you. The race that is set before us, like those, like the race that was set before those who were in Hebrews chapter 11. And so the application here is very simple. We need to ask the question, am I walking worthy of my God-given calling? Now we stop and say, well, can I ever be worthy of that? Well, to be worthy of it, worthy means qualities that merit recognition. And we have an example of that in the Bible when we look at Job. The Lord said, as thou considered my servant Job, he had merit that was recognizable by God, in that he just wanted to do what God wanted him to do. That's all it was. It's just that simple. And so what about our journey? On a journey, when we're walking, and we should be serving the Lord, and we should be giving him first place. In fact, we should be giving him every place. He doesn't want just first place. Who's getting second? He wants every place in our lives. Then the other thing that sticks out to me as far as an application in the life of Paul the Apostle, not only the journey, he said, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, but also his simple testimony. If you look at Acts chapter 22 and look down through there, he is giving an account. He said, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you. And Paul the Apostle was learned. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the Old Testament scriptures inside and out. He could have put together a sermon that would have made those Pharisees sit back and take notice. He didn't. If you read Acts chapter 22, all he did was tell the story about how he got saved on the road to Damascus. Then later in Acts chapter 26, he was before Agrippa, and he did the same thing. He could have given a deep theological sermon out of the Old Testament. No, what he did was he simply stopped and told them in detail, you can read it through Acts 26, of how he got saved on the road to Damascus. Now, we can all do that. we can all do that. You don't have to go to Bible school for 4 years and get some kind of a piece of paper hanging on the wall to tell people about how you got saved and what it was, and what the Lord did for you at that time. It's simply testifying for the Lord. And that's what Paul the Apostle spent his life doing, and we could spend our life doing the same thing.